Are you in a place of hardship, suffering, or trial? Do you feel abandoned by God? Christians often go through these things and are confused as to whether God is really with them and loves them. We're going to consider this great subject today on Abounding Grace Radio. Stay tuned.
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
The Apostle Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. He called it a messenger of Satan to torment him. We're going to look at this great passage today from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 to help us understand all of the trials, afflictions, and things that happen to us in this life, how we are to make it through them, what is to be the perspective, and what does it mean when Christ says, I have grace for you. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. Visit us on the web at agradio.org or call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Here is now part two of the message that we aired yesterday, the day you really begin to live, from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
I was given everything, says Paul. I was given visions and dreams, and I saw, I was there, I saw the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. But with all this, you know what the Lord actually did? He kept me really humble. Because all these special revelations, all these things that God was doing, all these gifts that God gave me, you know what He did? He gave me a thorn in the flesh. The way He describes this thorn in the flesh is absolutely remarkable, isn't it? It's something to think about here. To keep me from becoming conceited, he gives me this thorn in the flesh. It literally means a stake in the flesh. He goes on to say, whatever it was, behind it was direct demonic activity. Satan was involved with it. It was something that was constantly harassing him. It was something that would never, it was relentless in his life. It did not let up. The history of speculation as to precisely what this is fascinating. It's fun to read. You have mentioned everything from a headache to an earache to Roman Catholics believing it was a perverse sexual sin. Other believes it was eye problems. Others believed it was persecution. At one point, he would even say Satan was directly hindering him from going to Thessalonica. And that's true. Opposition in the ministry, as I was beginning to think about this a little bit, that may be on track. That opposition in the ministry he was facing, opposition for pastors is the greatest discouragement. People have no clue. It has the effect of souring the whole work. And again, because strong opposition affects so many people, perception. You're always living under this problem of perception, and you got to live with that. In times of opposition, it's hard. It's ugly. It's nasty. Here's the point. Paul is saying, I was given something that rendered my body helpless. Huh. You ever had something that absolutely renders your body helpless? That sets you back? Sets back life, sets back work, sets back your ability to do things. There's a reason it's not specific. If we get too specific as pastors, I agree, we lose what's supposed to be taken in something like this and applied. If you stay with the context, you get it. The whole ministry was shrouded under the charge and the question mark of legitimacy because of a lack of power. A lack of human strength, a lack of speech, a lack of glory, a lack. And Paul just said, guess what? You're right. You know why? Because I was given a thorn in the flesh. And that's made everything really hard. I know it's had the effect, says Paul, of making you look at me as weak. Isn't that our problem? Now you see how important this all is this morning, for we look at people with whatever weakness has come upon them, and if you're strong and you're healthy and you got it all together and you're trying to achieve the picture-perfect life, you're going to look at weakness that comes upon people, and the tendency is, we would never say it, but the natural tendency is to think of that person as something less. Something's wrong. It's something I don't have to deal with. It's something I don't have to think about. The person right in front of me in the wheelchair. It was Job, wasn't it? One day he lost everything, his money, his children, everything you're holding on tight to, his health, money, children, health. I can't snap. Gone. And that plight in life, that sudden change, turned him upside down. And now, everyone who had viewed him as strong now views him and has all their assessments of his plight. And no doubt, what they were doing was looking for reasons either to explain away or ignore the plight of the weak. That's what we do. This thorn in the flesh represented every kind of backwards thing that happens to us that makes absolutely no sense, where one would seem to say, God has abandoned that person. God has left that person. Notice how opposite that is of every kind of false teacher in the world that says, if you have faith, then you'll be blessed with this kind of life. This thorn in the flesh can rip apart families. This thorn in the flesh can come in the day when you hear all of a sudden you got cancer. And this thorn in the flesh is the conflict that has come upon you that has soured everything. You know the feeling in your gut? You're now helpless. You're helpless. And you stand back with now the pain of perception. How's everyone looking at this? I don't want anyone to know about this. Don't we do that? We had the life all mapped. I don't want anyone knowing about this. Close it down. You see? The strong, of course, sit there with the good life. Holding up the glass of wine. There goes the person. You ever seen a strong man hit who becomes nothing? Person's done. Is he? Person's useless. Person has no strength. I think we know the veneer of strength is a covering for real weakness, isn't it? We're always trying hard to show ourselves with everything together, and we're working hard to create a utopia in this life. We're working hard to create a utopia. Everything mapped out as we looked at last time. You ever notice how nothing seems to go according to plan? You ever notice how you never really get your utopia? There's always some new pain, some new conflict, some derailing, something when you least expect it. You ever notice that? Me, says Paul. It's me. So Paul begins to explain this inward struggle that goes on. He's saying, I began to plea about this. How do you deal with this? He says, I tried. Three times I went to the Lord to plea with the Lord about this. I prayed, I cried out to him about this, that it should leave me. That's a deep cry. The man's on his knees. I prayed. And I found it interesting. I thought to myself, as he says, why three times? I believe Paul has something very specific in his mind that he was helping the church with, something that we all know. I pleaded with the Lord three times. Who went to plead with the Lord three times? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the heart of his greatest afflictions, in the greatest test of his life, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember what he said? Remember the prayer? We just went through it. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Let it leave me. Let it pass. Take it away. Then he said, every time, three times, but not my will, but your will be done. It was Christ in the heart of his afflictions who didn't have it taken away. In his great distress of his life, in his body and his soul to pay for your sins, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that you today can sit here forgiven. When Paul went to prayer, I believe he's letting us in a little bit on his perspective at first about this and gave some real thought about this. But isn't this just what we do? We know this. We know this about ourselves. When something happens, when the thorn happens, all of a sudden we're praying. It's wonderful. And what's the prayer? Let it pass. Take it away. It's just what we do. We have prayer chains. Everyone begins to cry out. Wonderful. And we're all saying, Lord, get them out of it. Heal them. Am I right? Of course I'm right. I don't think that's a bad prayer. That's what we do, isn't it? It's harder to pray, but not my will, but your will be done. Because then what I'm saying is, I realize that this thorn in the flesh might be your will for me. You see, when we're only praying, take it away, fix it, have we really submitted to the reality that this thorn ultimately is not Satan's, it's God's for me? And then we begin to think about it. What is his purpose in it? You see, it was only after the third cry that he got a response. The Lord was training him, no doubt, to be persistent in prayer. We pray and we don't get the answer we want, and you know what we do? We stop. But this tests sincerity at times. That's why we have to continually be in prayer. That's why the scriptures call us to constantly be in prayer. Paul kept coming to the throne of grace until he received an answer. And you should too. And you say, well, what's going to be the answer? He might take it away. But this persistence in prayer demonstrates sincerity and the genuineness of our faith when it's tested. And so it's at this point, at the third petition, all of a sudden the Lord answers him. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. What a moment. Hebrews says that when Jesus was in the heart of his affliction in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. He hears your cries, all of them. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. But he wants you to understand something. Christ said in the heart of his affliction, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know what we say in our forms when we do the Lord's Supper? So that we'll never have to say that. And that means he's going to answer you with grace. I'll never leave you nor forsake you has always been the promise of the covenant of grace. Why are you anxious? Why are you worried? I've always promised I'll never leave you nor forsake you, says Hebrews. If he doesn't take it away, then here's the plan for you. I'm going to give you grace. What do you mean? I'm going to give you all the help you need through it. But you need to understand, grace is not always just about beating it. That's what we're all trying to do. The grace will be for you in it, in the thorn, through the thorn. Here it is. People are going to see my strength. Wait a minute. He just said that the thorn was some kind of opportunity then. The thorn was some kind of, in some sense, gift. And this is where I think we have to remember then that we look at everything wrongly and everything in a backwards manner. The church was looking at Paul and saying, opposition, conflict, disruption, weakness, conclusion, absence of Jesus. And Paul just heard from the Lord's mouth the opposite thing, didn't he? All things are appointed in a thorn in the flesh so that real strength may be seen. Let me say, we all enjoy strength from the Lord. Strength is not an evil thing. That too is a blessing. If you're strong right now and enjoying a good life of no thorn in the flesh, be thankful. Paul learned contentment when he was abased or whether he was abounding. If you're strong, praise him. But we rarely give praise to God as we should in strength. We rarely acknowledge him in prayer as we should in strength. So he gives you a thorn in the flesh to keep you humble. And that produces the best soil for grace to work. Understand that? Human strength, when God is not acknowledged in your life, human strength, when God is not acknowledged and divine grace are incompatible. Human strength and divine grace, when God is left out of the equation, incompatible. But human weakness on the knees is the soil for it to work. We can't get past that, though. I was thinking the other day, we live in a time of a return to the tough guy right. Ever notice that? The tough guy. And I love, you know, if I could, as a pastor, I can't. I'd grow a beard down to here, you know. I would. I love that. I like guns. I like overlanding the terrain. But I've never been to war. Have I? I've never fought. Heads up, I'm not that tough. But the perception, tough guy. It's our day. And this is no disrespect. I'm not speaking either way to our president's victory, but I'm saying this. Isn't that a reason our president won? He was the epitome of strength to people again. How would we have perceived him if we saw tears and humility? Weak. Weak. And my father was just diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. All my life, I viewed him as a rock and a pillar of strength to me. We watched Clint Eastwood together. I don't know if the kids even know who that is anymore. We lifted weights together. We did all the manly stuff. I think that's so important. You know, I haven't seen too many times my father with tears in his eyes. I have recently. It's hard to see a source of your strength whittled down to weakness. It's hard. But when is he really strong? When the power of Christ rests upon him. You see, human weakness provides the soil for grace to work and becomes the opportunity for Christ's glory to shine. There's power to show. As I express trust in him, I'm finally put on my knees in prayer. Are the strong praying? How about this? The church father Chrysostom once said this: how great is the advantage of affliction? For now we are in the enjoyment of peace and have become lax, he says, as a people. We got all this peace, we got all this stuff, we're all lax now. And now the church has become filled with countless evils. But when we were persecuted, this is one of the church fathers' testimony. When we were persecuted, we were more sober-minded. and more earnest and more ready for church attendance and for hearing. Herman Witsius laments how contentious the church was in his day over tedious, thorny controversies. And he said, the early Christians he envied because they lived in simplicity. He said, they believed the gospel, they fled for refuge to Jesus, they gave themselves up to be led and ruled by his pleasure, ignorant of all these disputes, he says, we're in now. And he said then that the faith exerted all its influence on their minds and animated them to suffer bravely death for Jesus. He said, they must have been the most happy Christians ever. He said, we've lost that in our time, free from all this. We have everything. Every priority now is lost. You see, Paul has learned to look at everything differently. I know we need to close, and I'm going to close with this. Verse 10, he has a great therefore. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly. Notice that. For the sake of Christ. Verse 9, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Philippians 4 just happened. Be anxious for nothing, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Present your requests known to God. And what's going to happen? The peace of God's going to surround your heart and your mind. And what that means is he may not change the circumstances, but he changes perspective. All this perspective has just been changed, hasn't it? Look at him now. It's not take it away. I'm going to boast in this now. He's changed the way he looks at it. Paul would say, we don't lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away. Our inward self is being renewed day by day, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, seen, strength, power. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Whatever it is then, is it sickness? Is it people coming after you? Is it great needs in this life? Is it persecution, Paul says? Whatever form this all takes, adversarial relationships, whatever form this all takes, I'm going to boast in Christ's power that rests upon me. I'm going to use it as an opportunity to magnify Christ in my body instead of running around, which is the alternative to this, and complaining. Because here's the reality of it all. It's in that very form of weakness that you're experiencing that you're really strong. Get that? That's the summary of this. It's in that form of weakness that you're experiencing that you're really strong. Can you see that? Because full dependency is upon him. God gave you an opportunity. You ever seen what happens to a man who lived a notoriously wicked life and then is delivered? Grace drives him. How about this? You ever seen a strong Christian who has everything chiseled down to a place of dependence? Grace drives him. I don't think you really begin to live until you grasp this. Because when you grasp this, you're no longer living in fear. It's not just about keeping your life, your plans, your utopia, your will, your path. You got all planned out. But now you grasp, finally, your life's no longer your own. You're bought. And that, as it's true of you, I leave you with these closing words this morning. That the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a little while, shall himself perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you glory this morning. In some ways, it's a hard message, and in other ways, the most freeing message ever. Because it means that you take our lives and control every aspect, even the evil things that happen to us. You just told us you intend them for good for us. Even when Satan buffets us, you have a good plan working out. Would you give us this perspective then? And give us, who are strong, sensitivities to the weak. And then when thorns in the flesh come upon us, that we would be trained more in perseverance and in patience and in godliness as we learn and are trained in dependency upon Christ, so that there Christ may be seen. For what a wonderful witness it is when a Christian is on his knees humble, weak, for there the power of Christ rests upon him. Give us that, O Lord. And thank you for being so involved in completing the work that you started in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.